with a new episode of All Consumed. I am Chris Osbert, and I'm here with
Neil Davey.
Where are we this time, Neil?
We are in Breadstall.
Okay.
In Soho.
Breadstall in Soho. What is Breadstall in Soho?
It is one of those cult pizza places we keep seeing trendy people go to.
Yes. All right. Yeah.
And for once, I think the trendy people are right.
Yeah, they might be right. This was really good and kind of what I long for more than I get in this town. This is a good, ample slice of pizza. That seems to be their main trait. Get a big slice of pizza, 7-inch slice. And it's really good. We had a few different ones. We're still enjoying the crust.
Still good.
There you go. Yeah, really good. The vodka sauce pizza is really good. The spicy pepperoni is really good.
Really good pepperoni.
The crust is fairly thick, but still crisp. Mm. It's really nice.
Really good.
Really nice service. They saw we had this extra crust here. Gave us some free garlic dip.
It's definitely to garlic. I apologize to everyone I'm going to see later on this evening.
I can see the microphone melting now.
And possibly tomorrow. I think it's definitely garlic. Nice.
Good.
Yeah. Really friendly staff. Really great. Nice selection of staff.
What street are we on?
Berwick.
Berwick Street. So heart. Berwick Market.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
You can just show up on the street, but there's plenty of seating as well. Great place to do a podcast.
Indeed.
I think I will come here again.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Or just take something and leave and walk with it. Yeah.
So, table. Yeah, one of these. I quite like the trays.
I was thinking pizza. Why limit myself? Anyway, speaking of taking things that you find in London. I recently went to a great exhibition, and that is the Secrets of the Thames exhibition at London Museum Docklands, and it's basically all about mudlarking, which if people don't know what that is, that's basically going out into the mud at low tide and finding stuff, and there is a lot of
cool stuff.
And it goes back to sort of the early origins of it. Shows some of the most precious finds. There's this like Viking battle axe that just is fucking awesome. There's this like
about 8,000 clay pipes.
Yeah, lots of clay pipes, lots of leather soles.
Everyone
shoes.
In London apparently had a clay pipe. Well, that's the thing. Throw it in the river.
Yeah, that's the thing, because like you would just buy a pipe for the night, smoke it, and then when you're done, you would just toss it. Yeah. But so many more things like this gold Celtic helmet. With just these horns, it looked crazy. That I've seen before the British Museum, but it's on show at the London Museum Docklands, which is Canary Wharf area. It's a really great show. I loved it. Listened to these interviews with contemporary mudlarkers and just why they do it. It's really more because of just a passion and just the fun of finding things like a glass eyeball or a Roman coin.
Well, I know a couple of people. I think the Tower of London sort of opens up. You're allowed to go and mudlark.
You need a license to do it.
They do like an open day a couple of times a year or something at the Tower of London, and you can go along. And I know a couple of people have done that and taken their kids and stuff, and say I've found clay pipes and like arrowheads and all sorts of random all the things you would kind of anticipate discovering. And I think the hit rate was surprisingly good. There's a lot of stuff that's ended up in the river.
It's incredible. Great show. I think it cost about 15 quid, maybe less than that, for an adult ticket, and it was just a cool day out. First time I'd ever been to that museum, and also just interesting history of London's relationship to the river, which obviously is why London even exists. So just museum, great show. I think it's on for a good while, so listeners should have an opportunity to check it out. What have you been enjoying in London?
It's a good question. Lots of lot of eating.
Oh, is that right?
I got very happily got invited to remarkably the 10th anniversary of Berber and Q opening.
All right, okay.
Which was really good fun. Haven't been there for a long time. Food is
Only been once on a date. It was a really nice date.
Josh Katz is the chef, nice guy, cooks nice food. It's a great little setting, so that was a lot of fun. And I also went to the lovely Brindisa, who at the certainly classic at the South,
London
certainly
institution.
Exactly, certainly at the South Kensington one. Out on a lovely sunny day, there's lots of natural light flooding the place, and they're now opening for breakfast. Little huevos rotos and all that kind of stuff.
That, lads?
Yeah, you can take it. Thanks.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was great. It was delicious. Yeah,
really good. Thank you very much. So, there we go. Absolutely live, just to prove. Just to prove friendly pizza people.
With excellent voices. All right, there's some good baritone.
So, yeah, that really was. He's probably going to be the loudest thing on the podcast. Quavis Rothas, good coffee, really good orange juice, really good little sort of platter. It's, what's nice, I think, is it's really good to go to a restaurant
yes.
that's doing a breakfast offering and a brunchy offering, and it's not another fucking Benedict.
Okay.
It's not. There
they
are so
do the
many
grilled
things.
Toast there?
So, yeah, there's a
that's
little, yeah,
so nice.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
so
yeah.
nice, yeah.
So it was just, it's simple. It's a really nice menu. I'll post the menu on the social media. Really straightforward and simple, good value, lovely room. Nice. It's a good one. It's a really good little breakfast menu. As I say, trying to find something original. Still a big fan of Dishoom. I think that's a great breakfast.
Absolutely.
And then every other thing I've seen recently, every sort of brunch menu, is mm-hmm. so identikit. They seem to be so many of the same mm-hmm. dishes. Now, it's fun, it's nice. There's nothing particularly exciting.
Yeah.
And this, I thought, was just a really nicely done. Lots of things you want. A really great little platter of cheese and nuya and ham and bits and pieces. That was, it's just nice. It's just nice. You'll see from the,
okay.
I know as a journalist, I should probably have a better vocabulary than, it's just nice. But it was nice.
Okay.
So that was
nice.
So that was fun. It was nice. It was,
all right. Anything else nice?
So what else has been nice? Actually, something else I've been doing.
Yes,
a lot of recently.
Tell me.
We're trying to get. It's like you said. You try to make plans with people.
I do.
And then it's like herding cats, trying to get someone to make a decision on where we're going to go, what food we want, whatever. And have discovered.
Oh yes.
By OpenTable. At the top of the open table page, you can put in the date and the time and the number of people and a rough idea of the area or cuisine that you want, and it will just tell you what's available. And it's so much easier.
Oh, okay.
So it has become a bit open table roulette. But every now and again, it throws up an absolute gem. Caught up with some friends at the weekend and ended up in a Korean barbecue place on Parkway in Camden called Dalsot, which was phenomenal value, absolutely delicious, and would not have found it if we hadn't been absolutely dithering arseholes about where we were going to go and eat.
Okay.
So sometimes pays to be a dithering arsehole.
Oh, really? So. All right. I'll keep that in mind. I haven't got paid yet, but I'm trying.
What about you, mate? What else have...
Well, let's see here. As far as staying in London goes, I recently went to the opening of the... Soho Theater Walthamstow, so Ooh. Sort of sister side of the classic Soho Theater, just up the street from where I live, really. So that was exciting, getting invited to the opening and saying, yeah, I'll walk over there. And lovely theater. It's been a music venue or performance venue since 18-something. In its current form, they've kind of restored the 1930s version of this venue, which is kind of Art Deco Alhambra style. Decor, gorgeous. I remember when I first moved to Walthamstow, Northeast London, it was just kind of run down. I think a church owned it, but they never did anything with it.
Okay.
And then it was a bar for a little while, and then just for the past maybe couple of years, they've been working on this theater. It's great. Opening night was the show Weir from Natalie Palamides, an American comedian based in London, I think. I know she does a lot here, or at least in the UK. She's an Edinburgh Fringe Award winner, all this stuff. It's hilarious. Basically, she plays two parts, and like half her body is decorated like a woman, and half her body is decorated like a man, and she just turns side to side to argue with herself for the show. Hilarious, lots of audience participation. Standing ovation at the end, and it was like maybe the most heartfelt standing ovation nice. I've ever been a part of. People just thoroughly enjoyed it. She really put herself out there. I think a lot of the folks there were local, and they're really excited about this theater opening in our neighborhood. So that was exciting.
Well, I'm saying it's nice knowing something about what else have you been doing in London. It's nice you're going out in your neighborhood, and London is coming to you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right. It's all happening in the East. But you were recently at the Soho
yeah,
Theater,
the,
right?
The original, the OG Soho Theater. Which has always been a great venue for comedy and unusual things and kind of cabaret performances and stuff. And what's really good to see is the bar area, which is generally open all day. It's always been a moderately decent place to kind of pop in and kind of grab a quick meeting or have a coffee or a beer or whatever. A nice, cool place to sit. And
they used to do pretty good pizza there, didn't they?
I think they did. Oh. Yeah, I think the kitchen either died or they stopped having their own chefs. They've recently thrown it open to someone who was at the Curb Market in Seven Dials, an Indian kind of street food business called Curry on Nonstop.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
Which is either a great pun or a
That's Punjabi style food, right? Yeah.
So it could be a great pun, could be a terrible pun, depends on your appreciation of a pun. But the food's great. And it's brought some real life to the Soho Theatre Bar during the rest of the day. Everything very, very good values, a really good keema parv for about a tenner, lots of wraps and chats and street foodie snacks and stuff. Really, really good value, nice punchy flavours. Feels like from what I can gather, there's a real sense of ambition to what they're doing there and want to do something a bit more permanent, bricks and mortar of their own. But it's a really, really good place, and I'm hoping it's an indication that Soho Theatre will, over the next however many months and years, maybe throw that space open to other places as a little kind of incubator idea. But it's a brilliant, brilliant fit.
Well, that's exciting for me to hear, because at the Walthamstow opening, I was talking to someone who worked for like the company, and my girlfriend actually asked if they were going to start serving drinks and food even when there weren't shows or for non-ticket holders, and the person who worked for the theater said they've got some ideas for food, so maybe this concept's going to come up to Walthamstow. So that'd be great. That does make sense.
It makes a lot of sense. There's an awful lot of people that are trying to move from, I know, a truck or a sort of street food business to something a little bit more established. And there's an awful lot of empty spaces like that. And so if you've got a box office that's open and can bring people in and give somewhere a little bit of life during the day,
why shouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Right.
So, so Curry on Nonstop, I think it's there for a good few months, I believe.
Okay.
Let's say, great value, delicious food. It's a hit. It's a palpable hit.
Oh my God, Neil! I've actually had great value, delicious food outside of London recently.
There's probably a lot of that.
Probably.
Lots of, yeah. But London is the best indicator of value right now.
So the day job, what I actually do most of the time these days, had to travel for work. And I had to go out to Wiltshire. I stopped in Bath. This is during that last week, for when we're recording anyway. There's a couple of really nice days.
Wonderful.
So nice, beautiful, sunny day, roaming around Bath. Worst ways to spend some time.
Many, many worse ways.
And I had some very good fish and chips at a place called the Scallop Shell. And I think I was telling you before we started recording, I usually douse my fish and chips with malt vinegar. I love it. I did not this time. I did not want to adulterate the cod because it just tasted so good. It might have been the best piece of cod I ever had. It was amazing.
This is really good to hear. I need to. My mum and my sister both live in Wiltshire, so anytime I go over there, quite often go to Bath. And it feels the last few years it's felt like a city kind of on the up. It always felt like a city that deserved really, really good food and didn't necessarily have it in the quantities that you think it should. But that really feels good. Like it's been steadily improving.
Yeah.
But it's good to know.
I loved it. And also, they brought me a jug of water rather than just that tiny little tumbler. Mm-hmm. And it was sparkling water for free. Free sparkling water in a jug. Who could ask for... Well, I could ask for anything more, but that actually very much delighted me. And it just made their job easier. Here, have, drink this. All right, we're going to go do something else now. That was great.
Yeah, because you are quite needy when it comes to... Yeah, it's quite demanding.
I can be. I'm not, usually. But anyway, so that was great. And obviously, speaking of sparkling water, I also went to the Therme Bath Spa in Bath. It's, as far as I know, it's the only spa there where it's actually the natural water from that area. Naturally heated, thermally heated. I think about $40 will give you a day, like a couple hours there. You got an indoor, outdoor pool. The outdoor pool's up on the roof. It was a perfect day for that. All the spires and the hills and everything. Hung out, just rejuvenated, soaked, all that good stuff. Lovely place. I'd been before years ago. Hadn't been back since, probably 8 years ago, last time I was there. It's just a really nice place. That's nice. You can get in Bath in just over an hour. Yeah, so in under 2 hours, you can be there, soaking in a tub, and then still go home and at night if you live in London.
The train service is pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
It's a long time since I've been to the baths.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's so nice. I'm already making plans with my sweetie to go back there with her because we just had such a nice time.
Nice.
Yeah. I also had to travel somewhere else for work. This is really unusual. I'm not really traveling much for work, but I had to go up to Sheffield. My first time in Sheffield, and I actually heard good things. I was looking forward to being there. I thought it was great. It's been a nice couple of nights there.
It's a long time since I've been to Sheffield.
It's a cool city.
It was a nice energy.
Young vibe, lots of students there. Beautiful. I didn't get to do this on this trip, but you can actually, the guy I was working with up there was telling me you can take you can take the bus to the Peak District, so you're right there, next to nature, and you kind of, if you look out on the map, you're dead center for some really interesting cities and nature spots, too.
It is remarkably central place. Yeah.
And only about 2 hours from London.
And all the cutlery is really fresh as well, obviously. It's a long time since I've been, but it's one of those cities I think it's really easy to overlook because it's...
And like a proper city too, but I just mostly, aside from the work, which was fine, just walking around there. One place that was really nice was the Sheffield Botanical Gardens. They came recommended to me by a local. I think I was there maybe peak season because like everything was in bloom. It was gorgeous. A few other people were there, but I was there not super early in the morning, but a weekday morning. I felt like I had the place to myself. They've got this old bear pit there from back in the day. That was interesting to see. Just really loved roaming around Sheffield. I'd love to go back and have some more time where I wasn't just like, you know, on work schedule.
Yeah, of course.
Because it just seemed cool and fun.
Nah, it's a long time. But yeah, maybe, I say we were talking earlier. I mean, they are, I think I've just finished White Lotus 3.
Okay.
And we understand they are looking for locations for White Lotus season.
Yeah, Sheffield.
Sheffield. We can put
Well, they do forward. Islands, right? So they could come to Britain.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it'd be great if they put it in. Actually, a London White Lotus would be great. I would love that.
I love dogs. That would be a good one.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right. I was Sheppy.
Yeah.
There you go. That'd be interesting.
White Lotus. It was... I'm still, I say it's probably about 2-3 weeks ago that I actually finished it, and I think I'm still digesting the ending without wanting to do, you know, the whole spoiler alert.
Okay.
Obviously, it's White Lotus, somebody dies. And again, I think a few people seem to have been quite down on this season.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of what I've read, people weren't. Some critics didn't seem to be as happy with it as the past two seasons.
But the highs, you've
seen. I've seen
it,
the whole season. Should we say spoiler alert?
I was just going to say the thing for me. There was some really, really funny bits in this one. I think it was one of the funnier ones of the three. but Sam Rockwell.
Oh, he's fantastic, yeah. And then also, like, I didn't know he was in it, and then he just shows up, like, hey, that's Sam Rockwell. Yeah. He's a great actor.
And then does a speech about addiction.
That's a moment, yeah.
Which is...
They should get him in the same room with that kid from Adolescence.
Yeah. It was so unexpected, this speech. It is an absolute thing of beauty, and it's Sam Rockwell being Sam Rockwell.
Yeah. Walter Goggins.
Goggins, yeah.
Really had a good energy together. Yeah. I mean, they felt real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something that, yeah, they're both great actors, both very natural, very funny. Yeah, you kind of believe they have history.
Yeah.
And they've seen some shit.
Yes.
And there's that kind of, yeah, the hangdog thing, the expression, there's a world weariness to them both, which is really, really good. But no, I don't know if the
finale matched the finale of season two, but that was going to be hard to do. But I felt most episodes, when they would end, I'd be like, oh, man, no. Yeah. I mean, not these, like, epic cliffhangers, but you're just like, no, not yet, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Biggest disappointment for me was changing the theme.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, I kind of like this new one,
I was quite hooked on the previous one.
Okay, oh, that's good music, yeah. It's on Spotify, by the way, if you want to listen to it just independently.
Yeah. And I thought overall, again, I think there was an initial moment after it finished. But yeah, 2-3 weeks on, slowly digesting. I go, actually, I think the highs were very,
there's a lot
very
going
good.
On. Thinking there's about a, it now, and reviving my memory, I'm like, oh, yeah, then that happened, yeah.
There's a lot going on.
And Parker Posey is... kind of like a dream come true.
Schwarzenegger's son's in there as well, which was...
What's the father's name? What's his... Chris...
Jason Isaacs.
Jason Isaacs. I actually thought he was from North Carolina and then looked up. Oh, no, he's British. Yeah. I mean, he got that kind of very specific regional class accent down amazingly. Parker Posey just sort of...
He's quite high up in Slytherin. So,
See, the Harry Potter stuff's kind of beyond me. So I thought he was why don't I know this guy? But he was amazing. Yeah, Parker Posey's hilarious.
Yeah.
Everybody on it was a great cast, great ensemble. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's good. So, let's get into the Isle of Dogs.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen.
Maybe we can do our own version. The White Lotus. We take turns.
Yeah. If people want to track down what you're up to,
I actually did post something on my blog.
I noticed.
Okay, so a little more information about the Soho Theatre Walthamstow and Natalie Palominis. So that's tikichris.com. That's enough. What about you?
Yeah, I'm still pretty much just Instagram now. I did try Blue Sky. It felt like it was started not going the way of Twitter. Nothing has gone the way of Twitter, happily. I feel like it just felt like it needed an awful lot of work to try and get anywhere.
Okay.
I'm not sure I've got the time or the energy. Or actually the willingness, as you said previously, as we've discussed previously, the sense of living your life through I shall post my opinion on this.
I have been enjoying content on Substack. I've been reading interesting stuff, listening to some interesting stuff. I'm finding it's refreshing compared to my experience with Meta. So Substack, it looks like it might become unpleasant at some point, just like all this other stuff. But at the moment, it's a nice refuge. Yeah.
Fantastic. So somewhere underneath this, I believe that's the distant strains of...
Enub. The year was strange.
The year was strange.
Yeah.
So, I think that's kind of everything done.
That's a show.
That's a wrap. And a pizza. And a slice. I'm really tempted to do another...
Excellent.
But while I contemplate that,
I'd definitely come back here. I could come back here and do another episode, honestly. Yep. Yeah. So that was great. Thank you, Neil.
Cheers, Chris. Thanks. Always a pleasure.
Yeah.